gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sure about that?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice of deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now. Rude pundit. On the celebrity
pundit.
That's what I said. Don't start with me this morning.
Add an M to every word. Rude pundit.
Rude pundit. In less than half an hour on the celebrity hotline. He has some great stuff this week. On his online blog thing, the kids are doing okay.
Rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Thank you. All right. I guess the big breaking news this morning is the White House looks to like it's signaling they might be dropping the public option from the health care plan because it might be too much too soon.
What we need to do is come up with a uniquely American way of providing care. I'm not in favor of a Canadian system. I'm not in favor of a British system. I'm not in favor of a French system. That's not what Max is working on. Every one of us, what we've said is, let's find a uniquely American solution because historically, here in the United States, the majority of people get their health insurance on the job. So let's build on that system that already exists because for us to completely change that, it would be too disruptive.
I see. It's uniquely American, Jim, and it's sort of like cheese whiz as opposed to actual cheese. I would prefer to have the actual French cheese, frankly.
Yeah.
The single payer cheese or whatever, but we have looks like we may end up with some sort of imitation type product that seems like cheese, however, magically is
pasteurized processed healthcare food.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. In a can.
Okay. Yes, and caving to the Dick Morrises of the world.
The fundamental problem with this bill that exists in any of the compromises is that you're trying to treat too many people with too few doctors. Mm. And the result is a cut in the reimbursement rate to doctors. Fewer doctors, less medical care, and what it essentially is a transfer of medical care from the elderly under Medicare to immigrants who are now uncovered under the health insurance program that Obama's proposing.
Since when do we have too few doctors?
When has that been an issue?
Yeah. So now they can do the ad with the old people going, I can't get a hip operation, but they're paying for abortions. And now it's going to be, I can't get a hip operation because they're giving my health care to illegals.
Illegal alien abortions.
Illegal alien abortions.
Wow. All right, we are trying to see if we can get on Chairman Governor Dr. Howard Dean. We call him by all three of his titles since he is that's how we feel about him. I don't know whether this was before he heard stuff from the administration, but on Friday he said he still thinks that we're going to get a public option. I don't know. He said he's confident it will land on Obama's desk, but it's going to be an ugly process. I have heard things on the radio already this morning. Is this a giant trial balloon? But I don't know. Howard Dean said on Friday the only piece of reform left in the bill worth doing is the public option. Mm-hmm. We have already compromised. Which obviously a lot of Democratic senators have told us that they are a lot of single payer people, particularly the 80 something in the Progressive Caucus, have already compromised from single payer. So, there is going to be some.
What they're proposing though is a nonprofit healthcare co-op. I might be okay with that just because it's
You're the right wing.
Just because it's nonprofit. I think that all insurance companies should be nonprofits. Uh-huh. It's when they became for-profit companies is when we got into this trouble with premiums rising through the roof.
Here's the problem. People that have really, really studied this, no offense, Chris, but people like Jay Rockefeller have said it's crap. You know, everything he's read about it, it's crap, the co-op thing. The problem is...
It leaves the insurance companies in charge. That's the problem.
Right. And the problem, Jim, like we've talked about before, is that, we have example after example in this country of where a government plan works, Medicare, Medicaid, the VA, our senators and Congress people's own plan. The problem, like Senator Rockefeller has brought up, is that the co-ops have worked nowhere. How did they, you know what I mean? This is such a, it's such a bipartisan pile of mush if this is end up what,
uniquely
what's passing.
American bipartisan yes. pile of mush.
Oh.
Well, there are many co-ops that do run well.
The Senator Man on Dog is back. That's the important thing. Rick Santorum, is. That's what the Republicans have to offer. Retreads like that. Thank God there's a fresh new face in the Republican Party. And that is Senator Man on Dog, Rick Santorum.
Hide your dogs.
Rick Santorum is throwing his hat in the ring.
Hide your beagle.
Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
Is the country finally ready for a president who has publicly equated homosexuality with man on dog sex?
Man, that is the gayest dog I've ever seen.
Man on dog.
Bow, wow, wow.
My lips touch.
Bow
wow. You savage. Come on, bark like a dog for me.
Bow wow. He wants to make it legal for a man to marry his own dog. Half man, half dog. Bow
wow. Yeah, doggy.
Oh, heavens. I thought a montage would cheer me up. But
computer says no.
But thanks, Shane. It was a good try. All right. Yeah.
And this probably will hand Republican seats in Congress next year, if 1994 is any guide.
Mm. Maybe I don't understand exactly, now that we have the 60 votes in the Senate. Kent Conrad, he's the one that's obviously came up with this co-op idea. He said the fact of the matter is there are not the votes in the United States Senate for the public option. There never has been, so to continue to chase the rabbit, I think, is just wasted effort.
Well, not every Democrat would vote for the public option.
That's the problem, is Democrats.
Oh, look! Oh, guys.
I mean, it's the end of life, the fact that they dropped that,
yeah,
when everyone has admitted this is something that Republicans have put, it was a Republican co-sponsored amendment, and it's something that's going to help actual people. They dropped it because of political pressure, because Sarah Palin's able to lie about it and nobody calls her on it. I'm sorry, Jim.
If you show weakness to the Republicans, they'll just kick harder. They're not going to be conciliatory. They just never learn. They see it as a sign of weakness, and they're going to pile on until everything we try to do is...
Yeah, and then what happens if nothing passes at all? I mean, Jack Murtha said over the weekend he doesn't think anything might... Because then what happens? Now what happens if, say, the Progressive Caucus says, forget it, we're not voting for it, then Chris will be right, which is... God, what a weekend. All right.
I'm just nuanced. Y'all are acting like Republicans. Everything is black and white, black and white, black and white.
We've already compromised to get even to the public option.
Compromised, 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 compromised.
Judy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Judy.
Yes, hi, Judy.
I'm a critical care nurse, and I believe that we absolutely need a public option. I get so tired of seeing people come into the ICU with catastrophic situations that could have been avoided by coverage of $150 worth of antibiotics, or the fact that people take their medications properly instead of cutting their pills in half because they can't afford their medications. I think also that the young people who've just graduated from college, are totally left out. So many people who graduate now, their first jobs are part-time jobs.
Right.
They don't have insurance.
Yep.
In my own family, a family member got cancer at 23. Mm. No insurance.
Yeah.
Where does that leave her?
Yeah, I hear you. Thank you, Judy. What a surprise. The phone lines are packed this morning already.
There's always the military. We need more cannon fodder for more wars. So, hey, you'll get health coverage there, assuming you're still alive.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just, it is amazing to me that you know, you can win on the basis of just pure lies, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then the fact that, you know, Rachel Maddow did this great thing last week, but just this whole montage of them with the Terri Schiavo thing. Are you kidding me? This is the party that intervened in a family's private medical decision that's tried to sell you this whole thing as someone else is going to control your private medical. It's stunning. The breaking news, in case you've just tuned in. Oh, did I want to read that Associated Press this morning? Bowing to Republican pressure, President Obama's administration signaled on Sunday it's ready to abandon the idea of giving Americans the option of a government-run insurance as part of a new U.S. healthcare system. Facing mounting opposition to the overhaul, administration officials left open a chance for compromise with Republicans that would include health insurance cooperatives instead of a government-run plan. Such a concession would likely enrage his liberal supporters. But could deliver Obama a much-needed win as his top domestic priority.
Sort of.
I guess. So Kathleen Sebelius, the Health and Human Services Secretary, yesterday said the government alternative to private health insurance is not the essential element of the administration's health care overhaul. The White House will be open to co-ops, she said, as a sign that Democrats want to compromise so they can declare victory. You know, Jim, excuse me. Pardon me, I need health care because I'm choking.
Are you okay over there?
I'm fine.
Maybe you need a co-op.
You're turning into Dick Morris. You know, it's like Vietnam. Being able to declare victory before they go home for the Christmas vacation to, you know, get out. It's like, oh, let's just get out and declare victory. Obama's top spokesman refused to say a public option was a make-or-break choice. Robert Gibbs said, what I'm saying is the bottom line for this president is that we have to have a choice and competition in the insurance market. Or something that appears like it.
Yeah. That was the bottom line for a long time.
Obama
had to have a public option. Have to have a public option.
Obama himself said this weekend, all I'm saying, though, is that the public option, whether we have it or we don't have it, is not the entirety of health care reform. This is just one sliver of it, one aspect. That part is true. I mean, there is some health care reform in this bill, but I heard Bill Press asking this morning, why are we giving up so soon? Mm-hmm. Before we haven't even had a vote, we're already backing down? Co-ops would receive federal startup money, but then would operate independently of the government. Representative Bernice Johnson, Democrat of Texas, said it would be difficult to pass any legislation through the Democratic-controlled Congress without the public option. We'll have the same number of people uninsured. If the insurance companies wanted to insure these people now, they'd be insured.
Mm-hmm.
Sebelius also said the end-of-life proposal was likely to be dropped from the final bill. She said, we wanted to make sure doctors were reimbursed for that very important consultation if family members chose to make it, and instead it's been turned into this scare tactic and will probably be off the table. I mean...
In other words, she was scared by it.
I mean, it's like they're saying, well, it's a complete lie, and... Whatever.
This was
a completely bipartisan proposal, which is lost in this whole thing.
Earl
Blumenauer,
case.
The Democrat, it was co-sponsored by Republicans and had a lot of Republican support. We've done a million stories on this. Mm-hmm. George Bush had a provision like that. Sarah Palin had a provision like that in Alaska law. A lot of states do.
Yes.
So people are admitting it was a complete lie, the death panels, a complete scare tactic, and yet they're going, oh, but it worked. Okay, we'll take it out.
We give up.
All right. I am, wow.
Yep. And part of the reason it worked is that people are having Fox News shoved down their throat. Everywhere you go, Fox is on the TV, and five people are watching Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann.
Yeah.
Well, it's slight exaggeration, but, people are easily swayed.
Yeah. All right. Are the Screamers going to actually win this, or do you think this was a giant trial balloon by the White House? Because, that's the thing. When you looked at the polls starting with this, Jim... Huge support for a public option, mm-hmm. And it just, the problem is, then it's been this wall of lies. So who's going to win here? 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, it's a very timely, I guess, quote this morning. Who said, ultimately, if the president decides he's going to go with a reform effort that doesn't include a public option, what he will have done is spent a ton of political capital, riled up an incredibly angry white-ring base that's been told there is this plot to kill grandma, and he will achieve something that doesn't change health care very much and that doesn't save us very much money and won't do much for the American people. It's not a very good thing to spend a lot of political capital on. Who said that?
Tom DeLay.
That was a spectacularly bad guess. Rachel Maddow, on Meet the Press yesterday, who kicked ass and took names, including Dick Armey, who she got fired.
You're fired.
That was a thing of beauty, actually, Rachel on Meet the Press. She just great job all around.
Nate Silver at 538.com, he said, well, he's done the polling, and he says that public option is probably dead, and it was always very precarious. It was always precarious.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number.
There are at least four senators who have publicly come out against a public option. So,
Chad in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I just want to say that if they don't pass health care, I'm not going to show up at the polls next year. I mean, why vote for a Democrat if they're not going to do anything?
Yeah, that's what I don't get, Chad, is I just, you know, Jim's been saying this over and over again. I mean, this not getting meaningful health care reform is what's going to get Democrats defeated. You know,
how can the Republicans pass Medicare Part D without a filibuster-proof majority and we can't pass health care with one?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. How did George Bush get all his craptastic bills through? Yeah.
I mean, you may as well let the Republicans run it because they run the country in the ground, but at least they run it.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at these town halls, Chad, and you go, really? That side's going to win. You're going to let them win. And you know, last week we knew it was a bad sign when they're like, what, you're going to drop the end of life thing because a bunch of right-wingers are lying about it, provably so? Peter in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Pete.
How you doing, Stephanie?
Good.
I'm just confused by the Democrats' compromise or how they do the whole debate. We started with two sides, the insurance companies and single payer. The
right.
compromise is the public option. How did they move the starting point to the public option?
Well, this is exactly it, Peter. Why was the public single payer always off the table? You know, I mean, we're having the rude pundit in a couple of minutes, and he makes a point about, Jim, this is what you always said. Why was impeachment off the table? He was saying that could have been the shiny object that, you know, distracted the right enough because they would have been so enraged, and yet that was the right thing to do, legally and otherwise. But that's what I mean. It's like we compromised too much in the beginning, and then the starting point is not even where it should be. Let's go to, go ahead, Jim.
No, we handicap ourselves before we've even started the race. Because, we don't want to really win entirely. Let's ask what the other runners want.
Yeah.
I prefer that I didn't, actually.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Buddy.
Hey, three things. Number one, is there the straw man that the insurance companies are throwing out now? Oh, if you're allowed to buy insurance across state lines, this will lower insurance rates.
Mm-hmm.
Can you show me the state in the United States where insurance is cheap and health care works?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Show me that state, you know, and I'll move there. And the second is
D.C., if you're a senator.
They're spending $1.5 million a day to manipulate the media and the message. Mm-hmm. And part of that very well might be the public option is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, okay, there's no point fighting it. These are the same people who spread lies that John Kerry was
right.
a coward in Vietnam.
Right.
Don't believe it, you know, and on
right.
the final...
Well, no, I mean, that's what I'm hoping. You know me, buddy. I'm a shiny, happy liberal. I'm hoping that maybe, you know, this is a trial balloon that will, you know, that will activate the good guys, you know, the people
yes.
on our side that want a public option and meaningful health care reform against the crazies, the right-wing crazies at this town hall. Maybe there is a chance we may yet take back this debate. 28 minutes after the hour, The Rude Pundit next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What about beavers? You call yourself an environmentalist? Why don't you go out and club some beavers?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. If only someone would call now that I can just read their column back to them so that I don't have to do any show prep over the weekend because I've been drinking all weekend because the public option may be dead. If only someone like that... Why, who is it, Jim?
It's the rude pundit, or pundit, as you keep saying. Lee
oh,
Papa.
Shush. Good morning, Rude.
Good morning, Stephanie.
How are you, sir?
I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm not so good. I'm
yeah.
sure you've heard the news that the White House seems to be signaling they're going to cave on the public option. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Democrats caving. Wow, there's a surprise.
Yeah, there's breaking news.
You know, if I were to just to maybe offer one little possible manipulative glimmer could be a possibility in this,
mm-hmm.
is what if they're just trying to really piss off the left to get us really active.
I just said that before the break, Rude. That's why you and I share a brain and why I love you.
Oh, good, good. Well, yeah. And I guess I shouldn't silence my radio early. we've been sort of sitting back and letting the right run this thing. And, you know, what's going to, if you prick us, maybe we'll actually get active.
Well, that's what I said. Do you think there is yet a chance for the good guys, excuse me, but people that really want health care reform, it can take back this debate? I mean, is it a way to go, look, you know, if you don't want these screamers at the town hall meetings and the people, you know, putting swastikas up and telling out and out lies to win, then exactly, get active. Because you're right. I think, you know, Obama clearly is in campaign mode, right? He's like, hey, where are all y'alls?
Right, and the other thing about him being in campaign mode is if he's out there, it blocks a lot of the coverage of the town hall screamers.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I think we should just start. You know, they're just lying, outright lying about things, you know, like the death panels. And, you know, they're forced to answer lies at these town hall meetings and address them like they're real. Why don't we just make up stuff? Why don't we get George Clooney out there saying that if there's a public option, you know, you'll be able to crap gold. And that, you know, and then have people show up at meetings asking their Republican representatives, why won't you let us crap gold?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing, Lee. Again, I don't mind a debate. I'm not saying there aren't people on the other side with legitimate questions, but you're absolutely right. I'm like, why do we always fight fair? And we're,
right.
I mean, you make this point in the column this week about how Republicans are when they're out of power, right?
Right. Yeah. They don't take it well. We sit there and we try to figure out, all right, how are we going to work with them? What are we going to do to get some of our ideas possibly in there, or at least not get beaten too badly?
Yeah.
And they come in there and say, no, sorry, you know, it's.
Yes. Say in your inimitable rude fashion, Democrats try to figure out a way to make it work when there's a Republican president. Republicans just try to figure out how to up when the executive's a Democrat.
Exactly. It's, you know, and this whole debate, it's felt like, you know, it feels like we've been playing a baseball game, uh-huh, and then somebody from the other team just ran on the field with a football and spiked it and yelled touchdown.
Yeah.
And the umps say, yeah, we'll let it go.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the thing. It's like the other thing is they tell us. Jim DeMint tells us. This is just politics. We just want to break him. I mean, they even tell us what they're going to do, and we go, oh, okay.
And when the Democrats in the Senate say, you know, there aren't the votes to pass a public option, are they talking 50 or 60 votes? Because it only takes 50 to pass a bill, or 51 to pass a bill. 60 is the filibuster. And so are Democrats saying that they're going to filibuster a Democratic bill? I don't get it. It's so frustrating. I went to a town hall last week.
Oh, I know. You have to tell me about that, because here's my I love your special Saturday photo from Crazy People, the town hall edition. You have on one side of their table, they have a photo you've seen of President Obama with Hitler's mustache. On the front of their table outside, this is outside the Jersey town hall meeting, is a photo of Obama standing next to a delighted Hitler while surrounded by smiling Nazis who look just overjoyed that a black man is in their presence, as Nazis would. So wait, is Obama Hitler? But if he is, how can he delight the Fuhrer? Or maybe this is the incident where he stole the mustache. Ah, that makes sense. About as much sense as this photo.
It's great. You know, I love the photo because it looks like Hitler has a man crush on Barack Obama.
Exactly.
He looks giddy that he's getting to see Barack Obama. Yeah, it was really quite depressing. Yeah. The thing that I came away from it, my takeaway from it, was that this is, well, first of all, it was mostly old people.
Right.
You know, it was a bunch of old Jews. It was like Hanukkah in hell, cranky old Jews, you know, yelling at me.
Yes.
And you know, I don't think I've ever hated old people as much. You know, going back to the Hanukkah thing, it was like I was going to get a fire truck from Grandpa, but instead I got fondled.
You got molested instead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because these are people, I mean, old person after old person got up and asked the representative, who's Steve Rothman from Northern Jersey, who, by the way, is terrific. I would have like burst veins in my head trying to talk to people. Time after time, he had to tell them, we're not going to harm a hair on your head. And I thought, is this really what we're talking about? Is this what? Old person after old person got up and said, you know, you're going to have these panels, you're going to do this. And there was the woman that I spoke to who said to me, do you watch Fox News? And I said, sometimes. And she said, you really should watch more Fox News, especially Glenn Beck.
Oh God. Man.
You should watch Glenn Beck every once in a while.
The voice of reason. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, and I think that fair-minded people go, oh, okay, if there's two sides to this, but you're right, Glenn Beck, it's a wall of lies and crazy.
And the media that were there, they only focused on the one interrupting, yelling old guy, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And then, I swear to God, this is true. The woman with no arms and legs, who actually had a valid point about overpriced medical equipment and how that's something else that's screwing people over, but. When she started talking, every TV camera, every microphone, every photographer was over there. So what we got, what the representation of this was the woman with no arms and legs. And really, feel free to make your own joke. I can't do it. And, any Bob jokes you'd like to make?
Okay, come on, yeah.
Rude. Okay,
come on.
Obama wants to take your limbs away.
Yes.
And then yelling old guy, who the congressman had to tell the media to stop focusing on that guy, to stop encouraging him. Yep. They were encouraging him to yell.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. I think the president said as much this weekend, that there are constructive conversations going on, but that's the problem. You only see what you see on TV, and it seems like everybody is a crazy person, right?
Yeah, and you know, we should get our own crazy. Let's get Joe Biden out there. Where's he?
Exactly. Well, you know, and you quote from New York Times Magazine, November 26, 1961. It sounds like they're referring to these right-wing crazies now, and it was about the conservative activist anger about starting Medicare.
Right. It was Medicare, civil rights, all these things. Yeah, which I guess, you know, is the same thing going on right now. Their tactics are almost a mirror image of that. This is the exact same thing again and again and again. And this is sort of when it started, was back in the 60s, was the John Birchers rising up
right.
against civil rights and Medicare.
Right, and you, there's a connection to me in there. You know, you write, he was a bit too optimistic in his conclusions, the writer in 1961. He saw them losing power, and then Republicans nominated Barry Goldwater and my dad in 1964, and they never looked back.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it really is such a, and clearly now they're screaming, keep your hands off my Medicare. And this is exactly what they were screaming against in 1961.
Yeah, well, you know, those people that were screaming now are on Medicare, so
yeah.
they don't want that taken away.
Yeah, but then you talk about, you know, what do we do about the town hall screamers? You know, your next post is just about how they are. They're just so already things are bad in the country. There's you know, as you talk about the racist element, but then you have an endless loop from Fox News and right wing radio, right? That just has these people in a frenzy.
Yeah, and you know, there's a certain faction. You know, that guy that carried a gun to the standing outside with an exposed firearm,
yeah.
right where the president, the one that Chris Matthews went off on.
Yeah.
You know, that was somebody who just wanted attention, and so many of these people are. They see now, this has become now a media-driven frenzy, and I don't think it's real. I don't buy it.
Wait, that's what you say. That's what I was saying last week. It's, you know, town halls are not for your primal scream therapy. They're
right.
to actually have a discussion about healthcare, and you say they're just venting. It's public masturbation. I think that's the best way to describe it.
It absolutely is, and I think that this is people aren't able to articulate just how angry they were in general over at the end of the Bush administration. I mean, not just liberals being angry, but I mean the right being angry because everything that they believed was wrong.
Right.
And demonstrably wrong.
Well, Right. I mean, I was going to say, explain, because I love the end of your post about another miscalculation of the Obama administration was in not seeing the political value of investigating and prosecuting Bush administration officials, including Cheney. Explain that.
Well, it's you know, the anger was going to be there. And the anger is going to, you know, they get rid of the public option. The next thing that's going to happen is they're going to go after pre-existing conditions or something, saying that the government's going to force you to be in a room with sick people or something. So that anger needs somewhere to go. And it's not going to go into the kind of activism the left wants. So there needs to be a distraction. And I say the best shiny object you could dangle in front of them is prosecuting Dick Cheney and Alberto Gonzalez and Karl Rove. You know, that'll give Rush Limbaugh, that'll take away two-thirds of his time talking about health care.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
And you say, think of what it would have forced Republicans to do. State whether or not they support the actions of the Bush administration, the presidency they dare not speak of because it reminds people of what they're actually angry about.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how they just skip Bush and just talk about Reagan?
yeah, exactly. A lot of the things they're screaming about were George Bush policies, deficit, the George Bush, you know.
They're like the rest of us. They wish the last 8 years hadn't happened.
Exactly. It is rudepundit.blogspot.com. Great stuff this week, Lee. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thanks a lot, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes.
Yay! That would give him something to chew on if we were prosecuting Bush and Cheney and Gonzalez for war crimes.
Yeah, but you're right.
They forget all about health care.
Jim, it's us going, oh, well, we don't want to, you know, piss people off, and let's look forward and
let's
not back.
Let's not look partisan.
Yeah, and this is our thanks. Yeah, bye-bye, public option. If you're mad as hell and not going to take it anymore, I want you to get up right now and go to the phone instead of the window.
Yeah. Shouting out the window does no one any good.
1-800-STEPH-12. Now there's something.
That's a solution.
Good. Yes. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Let me stand next to your fire. Let me stand next to your fire. Let me stand, baby.
Wow, Hendrix, that's a first.
Oh, playing Woodstock stuff today because 40th anniversary, right? You see.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, that's a very timely guess to quote. Who said, what do we do about the town hall screamers? One of the major miscalculations of the Obama administration so far has been a misread of just how up a good chunk of the nation was after his election. Of course, a fear of a black president takes care of some of it, but let's not limit our discussion to that. Who said that?
George Lincoln Rockwell.
No, Lee Popple, who we just had on, the Rude Pundit, who has a fabulous, you really need to go read it.
That's right.
Who said they are deluded by those who soothe their anger? The people on talk radio or Fox News who say in an endless loop, it's not your fault, it's not your fault, it's that person or that person, immigrants, gays, liberal activists, attack them. Who said that?
Joseph Miltier.
No, Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Who said, toss into this mix the natural progression of personal problems like divorce or illness, toss in education most of them have, and shake, mother, shake, it's scary to live now, and not even for the reasons they've been told by Sean Hannity. Who said that?
David Duke.
No, Lee Papa, the very... Ooh, and he earned his stripes. He actually had to go to one of them there town halls.
Yeah, he did, in New Jersey.
And be lectured about how much he doesn't watch Glenn Beck enough.
He does watch a good amount of Glenn Beck, though. I have to give him that.
Ellie in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Ellie.
Good morning, Stephanie Moves. I just had a comment. I heard somebody say earlier that they thought it would be okay. They were okay with nonprofits as an option.
Cooperatives, yeah.
Yeah, nonprofits are not okay. Just because they call themselves nonprofit doesn't mean they're not going to gouge you. Those executives are still taking home millions of dollars, and they still act like any other insurance company. They're not any different.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly what I've been hearing. Why, you know, this is what Senator Rockefeller's been talking about. Let's go to Tanner in Oklahoma. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Tanner.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
I really kind of think
it's kind of our fault partly on this not getting the public option passed, the progressives. I think we weren't loud enough. We weren't organized enough. You know?
Well, let's, I don't know if it's over yet. It's seeming like it, but I don't know. Like somebody, you know, the rude pundit just said, maybe this was meant to fire up our side.
Well, I think we really do need to be fired up. We're just not heard enough by the media or by anyone, really, on how we feel about it. And I really don't think the administration or the senators really know up there how we feel.
Yep. Well, that's what I'm saying is, you know, all you can do is speak loudly and not like the screamers at the town hall meetings. But, yeah. All right. Let's go to Marjorie in Ithaca. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Marjorie.
Hey, I think it's really important not to get polarized over, you know, the left and the right, but to keep the discourse going.
Right.
You know, to come up with inventive new ideas. We need a better bill than that. And we can have better ideas than that. In fact, I think I have a great idea.
What's that?
How about get rid of the middlemen and give our health industry employees greater pay, you know? Give it
right.
To
well, I mean, the one thing the president did say is I agree that the public option is not the only part of health care reform, but to me it's a pretty important part. But I think you're right. I mean, there are certainly advances we can make, like not dropping people with pre-existing conditions, et cetera. Yes, Christopher.
Well, according to The Atlantic's Mark Ambender, an administration official told him last night that Sebelius misspoke in underplaying the importance of the public option. So there's still hope for a public option. The official said that the White House did not intend to change its messaging and that Sebelius simply meant to echo the president, who has acknowledged that the public option is a tough sell in the Senate and is at the same time a must-pass for House Democrats and is not, in the president's view, the most important element of the reform
mm-hmm.
package.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
there's still hope.
So our message is muddled, as usual.
Yes.
However.
No, it isn't. Yes, it is.
You
well,
know,
sort of.
That's what I'm saying. But you know, if enough you know people on our side get politically mm-hmm. active, I don't know. Let's see. Let's go to Bruce in New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, baby doll. Listen,
baby doll.
Kathleen Sebelius was misquoted by Fox News, as you guys are saying,
mm-hmm.
because think about how George Bush won the election in 2000.
Right.
Simply everybody said
his cousin.
He lost, and then Fox News says, he won. They went and they did a big breaking news. I was watching it, believe
mm-hmm.
it or not. Scary as it is. And a breaking news, Kathleen Sebelius says, public option off the table. And then they quote her, and she's saying, it's not the most important thing, which is not by no stretch off the table. I'm urging people call the White House. It's an easy
yep.
number. It's 202-456-1111. Call and say it's non-negotiable.
Yep. Okay. All right, honey. Thank
well,
you.
That people forget that's why Al Gore conceded in the first place,
yeah.
because George Bush's cousin over at Fox
right.
put it out there, and all the lemmings of the media didn't want to be scooped. So
right.
they go, oh, you bet. George Bush has won. He never
right.
had more votes than Gore.
Right. No, well, this is what Rude Pundit and a couple other people have already said this morning, that, you know, that's perhaps what this is a bit, you know, trying to make people feel defeated, like, oh, well, it's already gone, so, you know. Bonnie, in the, no sense in fighting it. Bonnie in Hollywood, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Bonnie.
Oh, gosh, I didn't hear you.
That's
I am going to ruin my marriage and alienate all my Facebook friends by saying what? Many callers have already said, which is we cannot give up. We can't be weenies as progressives. We have to keep calling our representatives. We have to keep calling the White House, emailing our representatives. It's easy, and I'm utterly convinced, and you can call me naive, that if we do that, we can prevail.
Well, Bonnie, that's what I'm starting to wonder is will they, because if you looked at a lot of the original polls, are they going to awaken a sleeping giant here? Because if you look at them, the majority of the American people want a public option.
That's what I'm saying.
When you originally described the president's plan to them before all this right-wing noise and lies, people are for it.
70% of people were
yeah.
in favor of that.
Yeah.
And now I feel like if Obama did a stage dive now into the progressives, he would land on his face on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That mosh pit dive.
Nice.
Let's go to Matt in Phoenix. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Matt. Hi, Matt.
Yes.
Go ahead.
This is Matt.
Yes, go ahead, quick.
Oh, I'm sorry, Stephanie?
Yes.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, as a supporter for Barack, I'm very skeptical about this Congress. This Congress is absolutely incapable of writing good legislation.
Well, maybe not. Call them now. 57 minutes after the hour, back with stand-up news and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hang on those lines. Unlike the right-wing town hall screamers, the people really mad that the White House may be caving on the public option, they're actually stringing together whole sentences this morning. With the punctuation and everything and coherent thoughts and stuff.
Yep. But the White House is signaling that Kathleen Sebelius may have misspoke yesterday.
Okay. So the public option not officially dead. The Stephanie Miller Show to you brought you this hour by Patriot Majority, by the way. Mm-hmm. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now.
Now!
Yep.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boyd, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. The president this weekend in Montana.
If you are a deficit hawk and you are tired of this crazy spending in Washington and you want to finally make sure that we are looking out for the next generation, then you, more than anybody, should want to reform the healthcare system.
By the way, the Laura Ingrams of the world, Jim, as you know, always say that Obama is so left.
Yeah.
I think this may be part of the problem, is according to the original poll, 70% of the American people wanted the public option. So I don't think he's left enough, in my opinion.
The country is nowhere near as left-wing as President Obama obviously is.
Uh-huh.
And he never had a mandate for this type of radical change.
No, he had a mandate for more radical
from
change.
From 70% of the people. It's not a center-right country, as you jerks keep saying.
She's a bit of a skank.
Don't let the right-wing liars...
He's been a failure.
Don't let the right-wing liars win like the Hannitys.
We spent a lot of time talking about what is now commonly known as the death panels.
Ah.
In other words, these end-of-life counselors, uh-huh. which when you read the House version of the bill would mandate that people, when they're older in life, every 5 years, this would be mandatory and maybe more often depending on their condition. Now, the Senate, we just confirmed that they're dropping it from the bill.
Right.
They had been denying that it existed all week, and now they're saying that we're going to drop it.
Right.
So what is that a victory for the people showing up at town hall?
That's exactly how I knew they were going to spin it.
Yeah.
And,
Even though this was a Republican co-sponsored thing, that wow. I mean, that is like admitting, oh, we lied about it, and aha, we won. Okay. There was only one thing that cheered me up this weekend. Carla in D.C. Something that involves Hal Sparks and Beaverstack together.
Oh, wow.
What do we love more here on the Stephanie Miller Show than Hal Sparks and Beaverstack?
Although you need to relax when he touches you.
I was very tense about CNN and healthcare and a lot of things on Friday.
Yes.
Steph, I saw this piece of gossip about Hal Sparks in the Washington Post. This is from the Washington Post this weekend. Hal Sparks chowing down at Hank's Oyster Bar in DuPont Circle on Friday. The actor-comedian, black and white t-shirt, arrived with one pal. They ate beaver tail oysters. Caesar salad, ceviche, tuna, onion rings, collard greens, and mac and cheese. Wow, he was hungry.
Wow.
That's a lot of beaver
and tuna.
All right. When's our vacation start? Oh, next, the week after next.
Yes.
And Hal Sparks will be filling in for us. God bless
and
him.
And Hal Sparks will be in studio on Wednesday.
Yes. All right. Let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. And news breaks here at Stays Broken. Our top story, the headline is Taser sues the entire country of Canada.
Huh? Can you do that?
Can you tase the whole country? I don't know.
Every province? That's a big job, eh?
Taser International filed a lawsuit Friday in Canada, blasting a government report that prompted severe limitations on how and when law enforcement officers in British Columbia can use stun guns. The 18-month-long inquiry concluded in July that tasers can cause death.
Not even Canadian healthcare will fix that, eh?
A spokesman for the inquiry said Friday officials were surprised by Taser's reaction. Who do we have?
We have the judge in the trial.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court judge, I should say.
Uh-huh. Hear ye. Court is now in session. On the matter of Taser International versus the sovereign state of Canada, plaintiff's counsel may speak. Your Honor, The findings by the lower court that tasers are potentially deadly is a base canard. Why, we've proven they're no more dangerous to the public than the occasional plate of poutine. Yet these findings were disregarded. I have arranged a definitive demonstration for this court to bolster our case. May I proceed?
You may.
Thank you. Here is a standard issue taser. We have a volunteer who of his own free will has agreed to subject himself to being tased. Produce the volunteer. Say, wait a minute. If he's volunteering, why is he bound and gagged, eh? So he is. I hadn't noticed. Hey, whatever floats your boat, eh? Anyway, here goes. Citizen, I require you to comply with my request. I see you are refusing to comply with a lawful request of a police officer. Therefore, I shall have to tase you. There, you see, Your Honor? No harm done. He's not moving or breathing. I think you've killed him, eh? Your Honor, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Bailiff, take that man into custody. Wait. Is that's what you have? It looks like a gigantic taser. I see Canada's refusing to comply with my lawful request. I'm afraid I'm going to have to tase the entire country. I require you to hand down a favorable verdict. I said you must comply, eh? I hereby claim this country for Taser International. Sing your new national anthem, eh? Oh, Canada, about tasers you must not lie. Because if you do, then I'll shock you until you die.
Oh, dear. Did we kill a country of Canada? Yes.
Canada doesn't make much of a sound when it falls.
No.
I think New Brunswick...
Dick Morris makes a bigger sound.
I think New Brunswick is still okay.
Okay.
The other provinces.
Yeah. New Brunswick is an island, so...
No.
Yeah.
And finally, GOP mayoral candidate has put in Christian creationism display in the Tulsa Zoo is a top priority.
Oh dear.
Republican mayoral candidate Anna Falling said Tuesday putting a Christian creationism display in the Tulsa Zoo is number one in importance among city issues that include violent crime, budget woes, and bumpy streets.
Hmm.
It's first, she said, to calls of hallelujah at a rally outside the zoo.
Oh, no.
If we can't come to the foundation of faith in this community, those other answers will never come. We need to first of all recognize the fact that God needs to be honored in this city. She also said the next mayor needs to appoint people to city boards, authorities, and commissions who will honor God.
Oh, boy.
We have
Anna Falling, actually. Our community has many issues that need addressing. We are seriously in debt, making it nearly impossible to repair our roads, resulting in giant potholes that have caused several of our neighbors to be swallowed with their pickup trucks into muddy cauldrons of death, never to be seen again. Rapes, murders, ritual mutilations, and disembowelments are and being set on fire by roving gangs of sadistic hooligans are nearly daily occurrences since we've had to lay off the entire police department. But first and foremost must be our commitment as Christians to mount a Christian creationism display at the Tulsa Zoo. If we can't come to the foundation of faith, we are screwed. God will continue to smite us for mocking his creation with so-called science. If only we would acknowledge the proven fact that God created the earth 5,000 years ago in 6 days, and that Adam and Eve coexisted with dinosaurs, unicorns, and chupacabras. Surely, our trials and tribulations must end. But we must not rest on our laurels. After that, we must threaten the National Geographic headquarters with divine retribution, by which I mean a moving van full of manure, if they continue to persist in their arrogant delusion that the Earth is round. And if NASA tries to continue spreading the lie that men have walked on the moon, we will enlist the stars of the World Wrestling Federation to put them in an atomic leg drop pile driver until they admit that their so-called space program is as phony as Comrade Vladimir Hussein's Osama birth certificate. In Jesus' name, I pray. No questions unless you plan on treading lava in the lake of fire for all eternity. See y'all at the bake sale.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, follow Raw.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. There's a tile ad at stephaniemiller.com. Go right there. Buy the album, why don't you? Thank you.
Thank you. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Surprisingly, Chris, a lot of people have a lot to say.
I would imagine they would.
About the news that the White House may cave on the public option, although they're saying Kathleen Sebelius may have misspoken yesterday.
According to The Atlantic.
Mm-hmm. Scott in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Scott.
Hi there. I worked in a nonprofit for 20 years, and the last 10 years of which I was the director of finance. And The IRS will allow you to have overhead expenses of up to 25%, and you can justify to go higher than that if you have somebody really creative on your staff. So what this means is that the executives will still make their huge salaries, and a good portion of your premium is going to go to pay for that. Medicare has less than 5%.
Yep.
So nonprofit co-ops are not the answer.
Yeah, well, that's exactly my that's what's being floated, you know, is that we're going to end up with this mush that is called cooperatives.
It's goo.
It's a goo.
Yes.
It's a healthcare reform-like looking substance that is actually not.
Computer says no.
Let's go to Amanda in Sparks, Nevada. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Amanda.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I worked in healthcare for 13 years, and I can tell you from my personal experience that I've noticed whatever Medicare does, the other insurance companies will soon start to follow suit. If Medicare cuts their payments to the doctors, the other insurances do. If they raise their rates to the doctors, the other insurances do. The public option is a great opportunity, but at the same time, they need to make it just an option where people can keep their benefits if they want.
Right.
But which is what they've been saying, yeah.
Right. But if everybody wants the same plan, everybody can have the same plan. But then if they want to pay extra to enhance that plan, they should be able to do that.
Sure.
Right.
And I've done the private insurance for my kids, and let me tell you, it was a joke. but I do have a daughter who has a chronic health condition, and honestly, the company I work for, it's costing me a fortune every year to have insurance for her out of premiums and co-pays.
Right, right.
And it's crazy. And people need to realize that it is just an option. It's not a mandated thing that everybody has to have the same plan.
Yep. Well, that's the thing. I refuse to believe, at least at this hour this morning, that we are going to cave on this already. You know, this is the thing, and I don't know for sure. We'll see the final bill, but obviously it seems like they're already dropping the end-of-life provision. I mean,
in the Senate. Just in the Senate,
though.
Right,
but you can't just go, oh, all the lying and the smear tactics work, and
which is exactly how Fox is spinning it.
Yeah. But they're just dropping it in the Senate.
Except that I've also heard people say the Senate finance bill is the only bill that matters, you know, because that's the one that's...
When the Senate and the House bill go to committee, it could still, you know, the end-of-life care could still end up in the bill. So,
right.
You know, all is not lost just because the Senate drops it.
All right, let's go to Neil in Madison, who called the White House. Hey, Neil, welcome. Hi, Neil.
Hello, Stephanie. I just got off the phone with the White House, and I told them my entire displeasure with the dropping of the
public option,
healthcare, public option, or public choice, as it should be called. And I'd let them know that if that goes through, he can be damn well sure I will fight against his reelection come 2012. And all they can say is, oh.
Well, I mean, I don't think the person on the phone is going to get into a debate on healthcare with you, but message received. So, you know, let's keep doing it. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Former Democratic Party Chairman Howard Dean said today he doubts there can be meaningful health care reform without a direct government role. He's going to be on our show at the top of the show tomorrow in hour number one.
Right, at the very beginning.
Dean urged the Obama administration to stand by statements made early on in the debate, on which it steadfastly insisted on such a public option was indispensable to genuine change, saying that Medicare and the VA are two very good programs that have been around for a long time. All right, so he's probably on the. It looks like he's going to be on the morning shows on TV this morning already.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Helen in Oakland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Helen.
Stephanie, I'm one of those old people, and I have a new slogan for us old people.
What's that?
We got ours, and to our children and grandchildren, screw you.
At least that's very honest of you, Helen.
Yes, I thought, I've seen what's happening. Yes, that seems to be the attitude.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it, and that's why I think there's such a generational divide is what they're, you know, now actually Howard Dean was talking about that in this in the healthcare debate.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to John, my right-wing bunt cake in Amherst up the transit from Mama's hometown of Lackport. Hey, Jan. Hello, John.
Oh, hi, Steph. Hi, Mooks.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm kind of feeling bad for you. But I got to tell you, the Democrats are one cluster intercourse right now.
Yes, they are.
They have no clue what they're doing. Now, listen, their whole message...
We finally magically agree on something. Yes, go ahead.
I'll make a prediction about Chris, too. He's a conservative. He just doesn't know it yet. I mean, that'll be 5-10 years. I'm sorry to get you in trouble, Chris, but it's just going to happen. Mm. Listen, the Democrats, they've completely lost the message. And Obama... What he had really was an opportunity to lead. Actually,
this isn't over yet, John. This isn't over yet.
No, it's over. I mean, some people, it's going to be over. Some people don't put their nuts on the table. I do. It is over. And I do believe his presidency is over.
John, that's exactly what you want us to think on our side. And hopefully this call this morning will make even more people call their senators and congressmen. So,
Steph, I know that my powers of persuasion on your show are somewhat limited at best.
Mm-hmm.
However, listen, it's over. And I've always maintained that this guy's support is a mile wide and an inch deep. And I don't know where he's going to get any support.
Really?
He's going to keep trying to
That's how you suss out the landslide data from this last election.
My goodness. No. A lot has changed since last November, no matter how you want to slice it. It's been a little bit of a yaw to the left that a lot of people just aren't really very comfortable with. Hey, sorry, listen.
All right. We'll see if you're right or if Bill Clinton is right.
It's not because he's moved too far left that he's lost support.
Yes.
It's because he seems to be caving.
Yep. We'll see if he's right or Bill Clinton is right. Who said this weekend? Bill Clinton. This weekend or not.
I'm telling you, I don't care how low they drive support for this with misinformation. The minute the president signs a health care reform bill, approval will go up. And I want us to be mindful that sometimes we may have to take less than a full loaf.
Oy vey. Chris in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Chris.
Hi. I just have maybe four things to say, definitely three. One, there's only two ways to lose. You either suck or you're wrong, and quitting counts as losing. So if he quits, I'd be embarrassed to be a Democrat. Michael Steele was on conservative talk radio, and the conservative talk host Michael Steele for the specifics to his Republican alternative, and he didn't give any. He just talked about vision and future plans for 2010. And Hillary Clinton, I was a Hillary supporter. I think she steamrolled with the best of them, and I don't think she'd give up at all.
Okay, 28 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the healthcare debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Please do not tell me I was your mental porn. That's just sad.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Aaron in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the healthcare debate. Hello, Aaron.
Hi. I just wanted to bring up a facet of healthcare reform I don't think is being addressed correctly is that I'm a prospective, medical student. I'm at a limbo here in where I want to go in my life. And I wanted to know what possible benefits there might be with a government plan for doctors. For instance, if you're not exactly paying for healthcare, can you sue a doctor who's giving you technically, maybe higher income people are paying the taxes on it, healthcare, Because a big chunk of my prospective income is going to malpractice insurance. So I'm basically just wondering, how are they going to help doctors? How is this going to benefit doctors in the future?
Well, I mean, I think that's part of what they're trying to address in general are the costs of the system about having to order a lot of unnecessary tests, right, to cover yourself.
Yeah, you know. I mean, and that's what I've been hearing is that when you have this, you know, money budget things, you're not going to be able to order tests, which is going to decrease income. But I mean, that could take up a chunk of health care, but I'm sure no doctor knowingly will refuse a test that will benefit their patient. I'm just thinking, you know, I hear day in and day out how much people are paying for malpractice insurance. And like I said, can you sue somebody who is giving you technically free health care if you have a public option?
It's not free health care. I mean, you do pay into the insurance.
Well, that's another one of those lies put out there. Like, oh, we're going to give free health insurance to illegal aliens.
No.
We're not giving free health care to anybody,
right.
Unfortunately.
And you do pay a deductible when you go see the doctor.
Representative Anthony Weiner, who we know.
That's right.
Democrat of New York is talking about, you know, the possibility of there not being a public option. He said leaving private insurance companies in the job of controlling the cost of health care is like making a pyromaniac the fire chief, to which I say, hear, hear. You know, here's the thing. These Republicans have at least, they've been honest about what this is about. This is about them winning politically and the president losing. So if you think they're actually interested in any kind of health care reform, you're mistaken. Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty took on Barack Obama's health care reform Friday, insisted that rejection of the Democratic plan could usher in a Republican resurgence. Wouldn't that be magical? He said, it appears that President Obama is making great progress on climate change. He's changing the political climate in the country back to Republican. He characterized Obama as an extreme left liberal. He's both left and liberal, Jim.
He's compromising not because he's too far to the left. You just shot down your own argument.
Exactly. Okay, so we're
the only way that Republicans could win is if Democrats don't show up to the polls. Because they're disgusted with how centrist Obama has become.
And Howard Dean has said this from the beginning. He will be on with us at the very top of the show in hour one tomorrow. But he's been saying this since the beginning. The heck with bipartisanship. He said they're not interested in it. He said you're not going to get one Republican vote on this. What I don't get, Chris, is what happened to the talk of reconciliation, what Chuck Schumer was talking about? You know,
why
would we be caving on the public option already? I mean, it really is stunning. So I don't know. We'll see what Howard Dean on Friday said. He was confident the health care bill with a public option would land on President Obama's desk.
Mm-hmm.
He said it'll be an ugly process, but that was his prediction. We'll see what he says tomorrow when he comes on with us. But he said Friday the only piece of reform left in the bill worth doing is the public option. We have already compromised. And he talked about the same thing we've said about the town halls. He said they're not about health care. They're about being angry. He also said it's about generational change. We were just talking about that with our senior citizen caller.
Right.
He said indicating the majority of the protesters at the town halls were older people and their group is getting smaller and smaller. He said they don't look anything like the generation that voted for Obama. And he also compared it when he signed gay civil unions as governor of Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
He went to neighborhoods where he normally would be treated with applause and gratitude. He said he would instead have people shouting at him. The key, he said, is some people are resistant to change because a certain set of things they could believe in were taken away.
Right.
While many progressive Democrats have decried Obama's insistence on a bipartisan bill, claiming it was a useless exercise, Dean said Obama was being a savvy politician. But I'm pretty sure from what I'm hearing thus far from Howard Dean, he is urging the president to stand up for the public option, what he has been saying.
As well he should.
Mm-hmm. The president was in Montana over the weekend.
Here in Montana, you've got bears and moose and elk. And in Washington, you just have mostly bull.
He denounced news media emphasis on the angry protesters at town hall meetings. He said, TV loves a ruckus. What you haven't seen on TV and what makes me proud are the many constructive meetings going on all over the country. That's the thing. Is there still time for sane people to reclaim this debate? After these... seriously, we've played the clips, and literally all it is just yelling.
Yep.
There's not even comprehensible points in it. President Obama said special interests that profit from the U.S. healthcare system are spreading misinformation about plans to overhaul medical insurance practices, and yet, are we going to let them win? Is that what's going to happen?
Good plan.
Yeah, apparently, I guess what the president's saying is yes, and they've done a good job. The president.
Americans spend $5,000 to $6,000 per person more than any other advanced nation on earth. Now, if you think that, how can that be? Well,
you probably don't notice it because what's happening is if you've got health insurance through your job, more and more of what would be your salary and wages is going to health insurance. But you don't notice it. You just notice that you're not getting a raise.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think that people don't get is it is part of what is breaking our entire economy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the whole debate is just that people keep thinking this is something that's going to be expensive like it isn't already.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand if you look at the cold, hard numbers of what we spend of our GDP on healthcare and what we get.
Right.
And you think that's okay for us to be 37th right after Slovenia?
Or, right.
Whatever.
And he makes a great point there. People don't look at their paycheck stubs to see how much is taken out of their paycheck for health insurance. And they don't notice.
Yeah, you pay for it one way or another.
Right.
Even if you go, oh, I get that free from my job. You don't get it free.
No, it gets taken out of your paycheck.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why I have to pay you two a pittance because we need to have health care. All right.
Is that why I get paid a pittance?
I'm not even getting health care through you.
That's true.
That's right. Well, that's because you have a cushy union job.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yes, well, I'm...
making you make, you make $1 billion an hour.
No, but I'm paying more and more in premiums.
Yeah. All right. The president...
Clearly, we've got a system that isn't as efficient as it should be because we're not healthier than these people in these other countries.
Right. And in other countries, they don't have to worry about getting out of their dead-end job because they'll lose their health insurance.
Yeah.
They've already got it. It's a right.
Here's a big, for instance, talk about President Bush being able to ram anything through the Congress with less of a majority than we have now. How about this prescription drug thing that was just a complete giveaway to the drug companies and how much that costs? And you didn't see people screaming in town halls.
When the previous administration passed the prescription drug bill, that was something that a lot of seniors needed, right? They needed prescription drug help. The price tag on that was hundreds of billions of dollars. You know how we paid for it? We didn't.
Yeah.
It just got added on to the deficit and the debt.
Yeah, not to mention that it was a craptastic bill in the first place. Yeah. Let's go to John in Portland, Oregon. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Good morning. Say, Chris, first off, Geography 101, New Brunswick is attached to Maine, so therefore it's not an island.
Is that the thing that has stuck in your craw? We're talking about all of this health care crap, and that's the thing that's stuck in your craw this morning?
there's two other Canadian fun facts we got to throw out. Jim, back to your taser piece real quick. There's been a lot of high-profile tasers, including some that have resulted in death, including people that got caught on video.
Right.
And it's huge up there.
Yes, but it tends to cause heart attack for some reason, allegedly.
So does poutine. So, you know, are you gonna sue Tim Hortons?
But that's a slower death.
Okay.
As opposed to the 50,000 volts you get.
And it's pretty much contained to Quebec. You know, it's not in their provinces.
Exactly. It depends on where you go. And then the third thing, tying into the healthcare thing, which I'm sure Chris will appreciate, spoke to my Canadian fiance last night and just asked her, what do you think about the healthcare? I talked to her about the debate, but I also say, what do you do when you need to go to a doctor? And it's like, it's not a big deal. They can go to, you know, pretty much a doctor anytime. She doesn't have a problem with it, and none of her friends are the same way. This is not uppermost in their mind as opposed to us in this country who are, you know, even if we do have coverage. What do we think? Well, gee, you can't afford a doctor, even if you do have coverage. It's still uppermost in our mind.
Yep.
To go or whether or not to go.
All right. 42 minutes after the hour. Well, they can't come up with ideas on healthcare, but they can dance. We'll tell you who the latest surprise member of Dancing with the Stars will be as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The lovely Mrs. Jim Ward had a healthcare experience over the weekend, you said, Jim?
Yes, she had a run-in with my elderly cat.
Oh, dear.
Probably needs her teeth cleaned, but she's so old she probably wouldn't survive the anesthesia. But Saturday night, Jim's cat... Sassy, I know, gayest cat name ever. I didn't name her.
Did you name it Sassy?
No, it was a neighbor's cat.
Okay.
So it just stuck.
Like if your cat gets out, you have to call, here's Sassy.
Yeah.
Your neighbors get to hear it.
Fortunately,
she
doesn't
run away.
Yeah.
And then when you find her, you can go, that's sassy.
Yes.
So if you go to the vet, sassy ward here for her. Oh, damn it.
Yes.
Should show up to the vet wearing a tutu with a name. Anyway, so Jin's cat bit me twice on my left wrist and drew blood. This morning my hand felt numb and there was swelling at the side of the wounds. Knowing that cat bites can be serious, I drove myself to the emergency room in Sherman Oaks because this happened to the right arm 2 years ago. Same cat. Same wounds. It was a quiet day in the ER, and I saw one doctor on call pretty quickly. He was concerned I might have a tooth fragment under the wounds, so we ordered x-rays. In the meantime, the ER began to fill up with more serious cases, people screaming in agony, etc., causing the doctor to get a little distracted from my case. A mobile x-ray unit showed up eventually, and he took 8 x-rays. Is there a healthcare overkill crisis? And about an hour later, the doctor was able to come and tell me that he looked at the x-rays and was concerned there was an unusual foreign object shaped like an L embedded in my arm. An on-call radiologist, perhaps $500 an hour kind of specialist, was brought in to examine the x-rays. This took an additional hour to process. A nurse named Gary came in to say hi and confirmed that indeed I had an L in my arm. Even at the elbow. I was released shortly after when it was found that the radiology technician had accidentally placed the letter L for left arm under my arm while taking the x-ray.
No.
Wonder how much the bill is going to be. So that's the state of health care in America
right now. Ladies and gentlemen.
In emergency rooms. You have an L in your arm. Oh, my God.
Oh, never mind. That was...
Sorry.
Oh, wow. Chris, can you see my hand?
Yes.
I actually was playing with my friend's cat this weekend, and it didn't need that kind of medical attention, Jim. Can you see? But it is apparently this is a game to them, is that pretending that your hand is like a mouse.
Uh-huh.
But I'm stupid enough that I played the game several times thinking I would win the next time, and I did not.
Yeah.
I lost every time.
Yeah. I had a guest in my apartment this weekend, and he was playing with the cat, you know, just petting it, and cat... thinking it was a mouse, attacked his
pounced
hand.
On it. Yeah,
pulled back. He pulled back a bloody stump.
Yeah,
like don't do that.
Yeah,
no.
But she was so cute, and really seemed like she wanted to play.
They
she's
want
like,
you
no,
to
no,
think
no.
that.
No,
just
I won't.
Wear a welding glove if you're going to do that.
Yeah, I was like, he's like, she's like, I won't do it again. Okay. like 5 times in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Well, when you have young cats, they're. Claws and teeth are really sharp, so you get lots of little tiny puncture wounds.
When I'm using the mouse in my computer,
yes,
my cat thinks that my hand is the mouse, and so
isn't that cute?
Yeah, so he'll attack it.
Okay, let's go to Bunny in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Bunny.
Hey, everybody. How are y'all?
Good. Hi. You have I will let you break the news this morning about the newest Dancing with the Stars cast member.
Well, healthcare, schmelfcare. The real news item of the day is Tom DeLay is going to be on this season's episode of Dancing with the Stars.
That is just a sad testament, isn't it? I wonder if he'll be drunk.
Conservatives saw the savagery of 9/11 in the effects in the attacks and prepared for war. Liberals saw the savagery of 9/11 attacks and wanted to prepare indictments and offer therapeutic understanding for our attackers. That's not slander.
Slander?
That's the truth.
It's the truth. It lasted about 3 seconds.
They rousted him from Barfi's Bar and Grill.
Yeah, they did.
Little Drunky McPuke Shoes.
They picked him up off the bar and shoved him out on the dance floor.
And we have mentioned before that he has, he shops for shoes at the Baby Gap.
Yes, his tiny little feet.
He has teeny, tiny little feet. He's a big, shiny man with little, tiny feet.
He'll just fall over.
Yeah.
He's got no leverage.
Yeah, he is. He's an ice cream cone trying to stand up.
I wonder if they will use his theme song, Tequila, and he will actually dance on a bar in little, tiny, white shoes. Like Pee Wee Herman. Linda in Reno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Linda.
Hi there. You know, I am just getting so disgusted with hearing only these people who disagree with a public health care option on the media all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Why can't people like me who have, know what kind of problems other people in this country, especially, like my own family, are going through because of health care, we never get to be heard. Nobody ever says to, supporters, hey, why do you support it?
Well, that's what, the president was saying this weekend. The TV loves a ruckus. So, they get the angriest, yelliest, most incomprehensible person at the town hall and put
so
that on TV.
That makes other people who aren't sure of the situation think, oh, gosh, if this many people are against it, it must be really bad. But, you know, I got to tell you, my son lost his job in February. So he lost his health insurance, as did my grandson.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandson needed three vaccinations to go to be able to go to preschool, okay?
Mm-hmm.
$400 without insurance for three vaccinations. My daughter had to start taking some fairly expensive medication for a medical problem that they found in her. The doctor said, you need to take this twice a day. Her insurance company wrote her a letter and says, we have determined that you only need to take it once a day, and that's all we're going to pay for.
Mm. Wow. That sounds like an insurance company coming between you and your doctor to me.
Yeah, doesn't it?
That sounds like a faceless bureaucrat.
I have some younger friends, a younger couple, whose little boy was born with asthma several years ago. Do you know how much they have to pay? They found two insurance companies that would cover them because of his asthma. One of them wanted $2,700 a month for the family.
Oh, God.
They're having to pay now almost $1,800, and she told me the other day on the phone that they had just gotten a notice that that's going to have to go up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, see, yeah, like you think we don't need something that is going to control health insurance companies, because then they'll go, even if they pass that, Jim, say the health care reform includes mm-hmm. pre-existing conditions, that could still be in there. Oh, yeah, you can get insurance. That would be
for
worth
$1 million
a month. And, by the way, you need to send us a couple friggin' sharks with laser beams.
Haven't you heard that we have the best health care in the world, you commie?
Mm-hmm. You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Sue in Illinois. Hello, Sue.
Hey, I say screw compromise at this point.
Yeah, me too.
My question is, beyond calling the White House and our senators, really, what else can we all do to be more vocal?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what else you can do, but call talk radio, call your senators, call your congresspeople, call the White House. You know, I don't know what else we can do, but, you know, we know from polling that there are a lot of us out here that understand the need for real reform and a public option.
Right.
We will also see what Howard Dean says tomorrow. He'll be on the show in hour one tomorrow. And I know he's probably will be quoted from TV shows today. But, you know, I got to say, I like a fighter like Howard Dean. He's been not only is he a doctor, but he did a great job, in my opinion, as chairman of the Democratic Party. And he's one of the rare Democrats that knows how to fight when you need to. You know, it's not that he didn't. I mean, he did bipartisan things when he was governor of Vermont, but he said this from day one about health care. This is too important, and they're not going to give us any support anyway. We're going to need, and so that's what he keeps saying.
And that's why the Republicans have to try to kill his chances at the presidency with that phony scream thing where they mic'd it so you wouldn't hear the screaming
crowd.
Of the crowd.
Right? Yep. Yeah. Matt in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, the guy earlier that talked about malpractice. Saving health care.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new talking point of our Republican, one of our Republicans in Illinois running for Roland Burris's Senate seat, Mark Kirk.
Uh-huh.
That's what he's proposing as an alternative to our health care reform, is to reform malpractice. So it's not really his interest. He's just trying to get their talking point into your discussion.
Ah, I see. And I fell for it again. Jill in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Steph. My comment is that we can talk about the details all we want, but every single person, every listener, has to call his or her congressman, senator, and the White House. Email, call, write letters, inundate them with your disapproval of them caving on the public option.
Yep.
That's what's going to do it.
Yep. All right, honey. Let's get on that. And then when we come back from the break, Jenny in Illinois will talk about how Jim Ward made her 4-year-old cry a couple of minutes
what?
Ago.
Yep. You did. Way to go, Jim.
57 minutes after the hour. Right back with that tinsel talk and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, all right, now, and I feel good. the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Ooh. That's the second best number to call. The first best number is to call your senator or congressperson and tell them to not cave on the public option.
Those numbers are up at stephaniemiller.com, right there front and center in the live blog section on the front page.
Linda in Naples, Florida called her senator. Hello, Linda. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Linda.
Oh, hi, Steph. I'm sorry. I wanted to let you know I did call the White House this morning, sent them an email, did the same with Governor Dean. However, when I called my state senator, not my state senator, my senator, Senator Nelson, his voice mailbox is full. So you cannot get through to him. I can't call Senator Martinez because he's a Republican, and I doubt, you know, he'll hear anything. Also, real quick, my girlfriend's husband just left voluntarily from Blue Cross Blue Shield. He was supervisor for the claims department. They were paid a bonus every month for the number of claims they could deny.
Yep, absolutely. Uh-huh. All right. Voicemail is full. Works. Sounds like a few people might have a few things to say to their Congress people this morning. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now.
Yes, also, sir. It's good if you write to your senators and congressmen an email, because even if they don't read each particular email, they will put it in the yes for it column or the no against it column. Mm-hmm. So the more yes columns we have, the better. So so write.
Okay, don't let the Senator Orrin Hatches of the world win on the health care.
I am disappointed about the attempts to characterize the behavior of Americans expressing their concerns as quote un-American, unquote. Mm-hmm. Although I strongly encourage the use of respectful debate in these town halls, we should not be stifling these discussions.
Yeah, no one's trying to stifle them. They're trying to stifle the people trying to have an actual discussion.
Having a discussion, right.
Oh, once again, nobody is calling people un-American. What is un-American is trying to drown out the opposition, mm-hmm. trying to not prevent any debate from occurring in the first place. Mm-hmm. All right.
That is suppressing speech. That's not free speech.
Mm. So the breaking news this morning, in case you hadn't heard, is a lot of fear that the White House was signaling this weekend they will cave on the public option.
Mm-hmm.
The White House is saying what exactly this morning, Chris?
They're indicating that Kathleen Sebelius may have misspoke.
There is still
a strong desire for a public option in the White House.
It ain't necessarily so.
Okay. The bipartisan end-of-life resolution that was put forth, that was bipartisan until that ran into a right-wing wall of lies, apparently has been dropped from the legislation. Senator Ben Cardin.
It's really for individual choice. And that is, what type of care do you want? You and your doctor should make the decisions on your health care needs, not your government.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You and your insurance companies need to make decisions on how they're going to screw you.
Exactly. All right. Let's check some entertainment news quickly, shall we, kids? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, Aerosmith cancels Trouble Tour after Tyler injury. Veteran rock band Aerosmith has scrapped its ill-fated North American tour a week after Steven Tyler fell off the stage and broke his shoulder because he walked that way instead of this
right.
way.
Right.
And
he walked that way.
Hi.
Walk this way. No, don't you!
They've had a lot of things going wrong. Here's a sign either you have too much money or you're going through a midlife crisis. Guitarist Brad Whitford missed the first 7 shows while recovering from surgery after hitting his head getting out of his Ferrari.
Right. See, Ferrari is a young man's car.
Yeah.
You have to be able to be agile to get out of there without banging your head.
Yeah. Exactly.
The problem with Ferraris, though, is that when you're old enough to afford in a Ferrari, you can't fit in it.
Yes, you can climb in, but you can't
get
out. Yeah,
exactly. Not without hitting your head and that requires surgery.
Right.
All right, we have Mick Jagger on this, I believe.
So Steven Tyler's had to drop out of his tour because he had a boo-boo. Listen, Sonny, it takes more than big lips to compete with us. You and Joe Perry called yourself the toxic twins, trying to emulate Keith's prodigious drugs use. But you couldn't handle it. They tried to make you go to rehab. You said, yeah. Keith is practically a toxic superfund site, and he's still standing. He's been struck by lightning, electrocuted by ungrounded microphone, fallen out of a coconut tree and landed on his head. Look, rock and roll's a full contact sport, mate. You blokes are better man up. We've been through three guitarists and a bass player, and we nearly lost Charlie to cancer. So I don't want to hear any more rubbish about Arrow being America's answer to the Stones. Here's my answer to the answer to the Stones. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might find you're a load of bollocks, you bleeping wankers.
I should say, put it on the record, that I'm a big fan of Aerosmith as well.
Okay,
but,
good.
You know, it's a hook.
Yeah, it is.
Noted. Duly noted. And finally, American...
And Steven Tyler Well.
American Idol executives have told Victoria Beckham to lighten up as they try to tutor her for her guest judge appearances.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Several people from Idol are working with her, telling her to soften her stage presence and not come off as so severe. The show is worried that Posh Spice is coming off as icy and wooden.
Really?
And that could be perhaps because she's icy and wooden.
And as Hal Sparks pointed out, the fifth best singer in the Spice Girls.
Simon,
or maybe that was John. Was it Fugle Sings? I don't know, one of those guys.
Simon Cowell says that Victoria needs to smile and laugh more. No one can replace Paula, said a source on the show. We just want Victoria to be herself. Oh, I don't think that's good advice.
Yeah, he says no.
No, that's what she's doing now.
Simon
Cowell.
They missed the drunken slag already. All right, we have Simon on this end.
Look, Victoria, you know I love you, and David, but really, American Idol is about fun and nurturing new talent. It simply won't do to have not one, but two arrogant, preening British snobs on the show. It throws off the whole balance. You really need to soften your stage presence and not come off as so severe. First of all, I think you should consider eating actual food. Just getting your blood sugar up to near normal levels will enhance your mood considerably. You won't feel the need to torture small animals when you're up on the dais, or threaten Randy with castration every time he says, "What up, dog?" Although, trust me, the thought has occurred to me. Also, it's not normal to be able to see your spine from the front. So please, I beg you, have a shepherd's pie or Cornish pasty now and again. Also, I recommend you take up drinking. A lot. The show just isn't the same without a sloppy drunk nymphomaniacal cougar slobbering all over the embryonic beefcake we get on the show. It's really the only reason we get any ratings at all, frankly. Although I would refrain from fellating a microphone whilst winking at the talent and mumbling, "Mama likey," or some such. The FCC would pull the plug straight away. More importantly, that's my act, bitch. Why don't you work around the side of the street? I'm just being honest.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends.
I think it was Chelsea Handler who said that Victoria Beckham, Americans don't get her, but the British worship her. She's like the singing version of soccer.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But
they need to bring Jack Nicholson in to tell her to have a few more drinks to...
You're going to need a few more drinks. To break the ice? No, to kill the bug you have up your ass.
If you'd like more Jim Ward, Vault Roll.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True. Thailand, StephanieMiller.com. Go there. Buy the album. Thanks.
Wow, did you hear the police stopped Bob Dylan and had no idea who he was?
Yeah.
New Jersey.
Got a lot of nerve.
Damn kids these days.
Yeah, they're in the 20s. With their rock and roll 8-track tapes.
A Jersey Shore resident called to report someone wandering about their neighborhood. Dylan was there as part of a tour with Willie Nelson and John Mellencamp. That was to play at a nearby state baseball stadium. A 24-year-old police officer, damn kids, was apparently unaware of who Dylan was and asked
God
him for
who?
Identification. A second officer, also in his 20s, responded to assist the first officer. He, too, was unfamiliar with Dylan. The singer said he didn't have any ID with him, and he was just walking around looking at houses to pass some time before the night's concert.
You're an idiot, babe. It's a wonder that you still know how to breathe.
Bob Dylan walks around neighborhoods looking at houses to pass time?
He's killing time before the concert. Sure. He's just a guy. The officers asked him to accompany them back to the Ocean Place Resort and Spa where they were staying. Once there, the tour staff vouched for Dylan. Yeah, that's Bob Dylan. Okay.
Wow.
Wow. See, I thought you were going to throw in a Professor Gates thing. At least he didn't go crazy and stuff and make a scene.
Apparently you told me not to bring that up on your
show
ever again.
Ever again. All right. Unzipped Media has offered Levi Johnston, the Sarah Palin's daughter's baby daddy,
yeah,
a full nude photo layout in the pages of Unzipped
on a snow machine,
which apparently is a homosexual publication of some sort. Hmm.
They got a little of the gay on them?
Apparently.
Wow.
The editor said the gay community's outpouring of support and adoration for Levi Johnston has been loud and clear since he burst onto the political scene last fall. Now, having learned of his desire to bear all for his fans and admirers, we've sent an official letter to his manager, Tank Jones.
Tank. That's right.
And eagerly await their response.
Oh, my God. We'll keep you abreast of that situation.
Wow.
I wonder if they're going to tell him it's a gay magazine.
Like gay guys can't buy Playgirl. Whatever.
You can't.
You can't?
Playgirl stopped publishing.
Oh, well, whatever. But back in the day, whenever
well,
it was...
Well, yeah. Back in your day.
All right.
You're that old.
All right, other naked celebrity news. Spencer Pratt stares at his wife naked when he pees. He keeps a 10-foot naked photo of Heidi in his bathroom. This is just an addition of things we didn't really... need to know about them.
Oh, dear.
Heidi recounted the first time she visited him at his home. What woman wouldn't this turn on? She said, I came into your house in the Hollywood Hills and saw your walls covered with centerfolds.
What?
What?
Great.
What adult
classy
guy.
With a K.
Yeah. Now I'm when I'm peeing, I get to see a 10-foot naked photo of my wife. Life with you is like 24/7 porn, but without the obnoxious charges, he said.
What?
Okay. In the same interview, Heidi tells Spencer that she has 20 to 30 orgasms a day.
Yikes.
Okay.
You're a lying sack
or
of
maybe
crap.
Not.
You're a lying sack of crap.
She just says
you're
so.
A lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Wow. That would explain her IQ.
Yeah.
She has literally her brains out. Okay, speaking of, apparently I have an orgasm stack this morning, Jim, just for you, Squeezy. Catherine Heigl, right. I'm not entirely certain who she is.
She was in Knocked Up?
Oh,
You don't know who that is?
Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah, I know the name. I just I couldn't think of it.
15 other movies in the past year.
Do you want to hear a pathetic story about my life as an elderly shut-in?
Oh, no.
I actually finally went to the talkies this weekend. Yeah. I went to the Moving Pictures.
Yes.
Yes, you talk now.
Yeah, I've been out of the house, as you know, quite some time.
They're in color now, too.
I think the last movie I saw was Porky's. I don't know. In a theater. I don't remember. But I literally, I went to a movie yesterday at 11 a.m. Which is me and the old people sharing Werther's hard candies.
I used to do that all the time.
Yeah. I still do that.
Do you?
Because I can't go to a movie. I can't go to a movie after 6. Otherwise, I fall.
Right. We go to bed at
stupid o'clock.
And get up at
insane o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw Julia and Julia, and it was fabulous.
Julia and Julia?
Yeah, Julia and whatever.
I still didn't get it right. Julie and Julia.
Neither did any of the old people that were in the movie theater with me.
All right. That means you're old.
Okay. Catherine Heigl was left exhausted after filming her new movie, The Ugly Truth, because she had to keep faking orgasms. The actress has a scene where her character reaches climax after mistakenly wearing a pair of vibrating pants to dinner.
How do you mistakenly?
Who hasn't that happened to? She said, by the end of the day, I felt like I'd run a marathon. No one wants to orgasm 35 times a day.
No, except for, what's her face?
Yeah, except for Heigl. Speak for yourself, sister. Oh, where do you get vibrating pants? That's all I want.
And how do you mistakenly wear
that
them?
That way, I could have a social life. If I wore vibrating pants to the movies at 11 a.m. with the old people, at least it'd be like I'd be dating myself. Okay, 20 minutes after...
It'd be like yourself in a theater.
Mm.
Yes.
Going, oh, I see, going on myself
that was
Alanis, in a crowded theater.
Alanis Morissette reference.
Who's a regular on Weeds now. I just
yes,
watched her the first time.
I think she plays a doctor.
Yes.
20 minutes after the hour, back with more on the president's thoughts on health care from Montana this weekend as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's the aggressive progressive. Dunker. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woodstock bumps
now you're playing Jim's music.
Same. Yep. It's celebration of the 40th.
Acting funny, but I don't know why.
The 40th anniversary of Woodstock.
Excuse me, why'd I kiss this guy?
He's on a roll.
He is.
Karaoke
well, you
band.
Were talking. So.
Karaoke band. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim Ward, talented? Sure. Yes.
Computer says yes.
Does he make four-year-olds cry?
Computer says yes.
All right. Jenny in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. I just want to let you guys know, first of all, go public option.
Yay.
Second, my four-year-old, we're trying to raise good little Democrats, was listening to the show, and she was very upset that somebody was making fun of the name Sassy for a cat.
Oh. Well, it's...
Because Sassy is the name of the cat in Homeward Bound.
Oh.
And that's like
her
most favorite movie ever.
Homeward Bound. Yeah, that's why she's named Sassy.
Well, Jim Ward, in his defense, was making fun of his own cat named Sassy.
Right.
I'll try to explain that.
It's just all embarrassing right. For a 50-year-old man to go to the vet and they call it Sassy Ward. Sassy.
Tell her it's a man thing. She'll understand when she grows up.
Is your
all
right?
Why are they making fun of Sassy? She's my most favorite as cat. I said, I don't know, honey.
You tell her it's because Jim Ward is a bad man. All right. Thank you. Sorry.
Well, is Sassy a boy cat or a girl cat? Okay.
Girl cat.
Good.
Yes.
That would be
Sassy.
That'd be really gay for a boy cat.
Well. Yeah.
When you walk into the vet, you go, Sassy's here.
Sassy. Jazz hands.
Let's go to Dominique in Chicago on the healthcare debate. Hello, Dominique.
Hi, Stephanie.
Yes.
I'm one of these union members who supposedly has this great health care and gets all his benefits paid for by the employer.
Mm-hmm.
We just recently went through a renegotiation of our contract, and our health care plan tripled its costs, not to mention that because of the dive that the stock market took, our pension plan took a hit.
Right.
So
right.
We sat down and figured it out, and between the two of them, I work one day a week just to pay for health care
right.
And to pay for my pension.
Right. Well, that's exactly what the president was saying. It was a very good point that, you know, we spend more per person than any other country on health care. He just says you don't notice it because it's coming out of your paycheck.
Right.
All right. Montana Town Hall, there was actually a guy who at least was respectful that asked the president the question.
Max Baucus, our senator, has been locked up in a dark room there for months now, trying to come up with some money to pay for these programs.
Right.
And we keep getting the bull. That's all we get, is bull. You can't tell us how you're going to pay for this. You're saving here. You're saving over there. You're going to take a little money here. You're going to take a little money there. But you have no money. The only way you're going to get that money is to raise our taxes. You said you wouldn't. Max Baucus says he doesn't want to put a bill out that will, but that's the only way you can do that.
And the president went on to say, you know, that he raised a valid point. He again, you know, reiterated his promise, though, not to raise taxes on people making less than $250,000 a year. And the guy actually later said he was very impressed with the president's answer.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, you raise a good question, and I appreciate the way you asked it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So obviously the big news that we've just tuned in over the weekend was news that it seemed like the White House is getting ready to cave on the public option. They say that Kathleen Sebelius may have misspoken.
Yes.
We'll see what you say and we say about all that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I wasn't going to tell you this, but between you and me and the fly on the wall, there's a woman on the premises who I think maybe is going to save our bacon.
Stephanie Miller.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dominique in California on the healthcare debate. Hey, Dominique. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Dominique. Welcome.
Hi, I'm so sorry. I've been on hold. I put it on speaker.
That's okay.
I have to keep it to my ear. I was calling because I, like many liberals, am just so upset with the misinformation that's just flying out there. I am obviously all for a public option.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the conservatives have their whole mantra, you know, don't touch my Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to be like, leave my public option alone. Leave my choice for a public option alone.
Yep. Well, you know what? Get on the phones. Call your senators and congresspeople today. Call the White House. You know, a perfect example is this end-of-life counseling. I mean, we'll see, Chris, like you said. I mean, whether a lot of this is to gin up our side, whether, you know, these are trial balloons, mm-hmm. what's going to happen when all the bills come together, I don't know. But, you know, for now, the word is they've dropped the end-of-life counseling, which really is a shame and is going to hurt a lot of people.
Just the Senate has. It's still in, several of the House bills, so...
Until last week, Republican Senator Johnny Isaacson was among the most enthusiastic backers of the end-of-life counseling and government health care programs like Medicare. Now Isaacson and other Republicans who eagerly backed the idea are distancing themselves from it or lying low in the face of backlash from the right. It's not backlash, it's lies.
Yeah.
It's Sarah Palin and her death panels and things that are just out-and-out lies. Until last week, this was basically a nonpartisan issue, said someone from the AARP. Isaacson and other Republicans such as Richard Lugar and Susan Collins have co-sponsored legislation in recent years with the same thing in it. In the House, the Earl Blumenauer took all the heat. The Democrat, he was co-sponsored by two Republicans in the House. This is not a partisan matter. This is something to have the option to talk to your doctor and have your insurance company pay for it. How could that possibly have been controversial?
And why did we back down?
One commenter said he's been surprised. One lawmaker said he's surprised at the backlash, particularly given the close attention Congress paid to Terri Schiavo's case.
Yeah.
Thank you, which clearly highlighted the need for better end-of-life planning. Schiavo was removed from life support, as you recall. The Republican-led Congress and Bush intervened in a private family matter coming between family and their doctor. Interesting.
Hmm.
I think the House bill is about as innocuous and helpful as possible, said the lawmaker. It's about making sure people are prepared and informed to make decisions. You know, and the president talked about his grandmother's death this weekend. Just talking about, I mean, to say obviously he's for pulling the plug on grandma is a little bit ridiculous.
Right. Now's the time for people to, you know, for Democrats to write and call their congressman. They're all ears.
Yeah.
You know,
he said, I just lost my grandmother last year. I know what it's like to watch somebody you love who's aging deteriorate and have to struggle with that. He took issue with the notion that somehow I ran for public office or members of Congress are in this so they can go around pulling the plug on grandma. When you start making arguments like that, that's simply dishonest, especially when I hear the arguments coming from members of Congress and the other party who, it turns out, sponsored similar provisions. All right. Senator Orrin Hatch this weekend.
There is nothing un-American about disagreements. In fact, our great nation was founded on speaking our minds.
That's right.
Families are voicing their concerns because they feel like they are not being heard in Washington. And I'm here to tell you that your voices are coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And it is essential for all of you to be involved in this issue.
And Democrats' voices need to be coming even louder and more through.
Yes, to shout out the insurance companies and their shills.
Here's what's un-American. Jim and I will demonstrate once again that the right wing, the right wingers that came to the town halls, many of them, just there to disrupt, like in Bruce Almighty. Anyway, the point of the pre-existing condition. Thank you. Okay. You know, there's only one person that has a big vision for America.
Who's that?
The teeny tiny voice Republican pundit Terry Jeffrey.
Terry Jeffrey.
He's back. He has a big vision for America.
Oh, bless his heart.
Everything in this health care plan, you got it right there, Wolf, is about increasing government control over health care. And the way they're going to do that is through money. People up to 400% of the poverty level are going to be financed by the government, subsidized by the government, and getting their health care. Everybody knows the old adage, he who pays the piper calls the tune. If the government's paying for part of your health care, they're going to run your health care. If the government's going to run your health care, they're going to save money by rationing.
Yeah.
And that will especially include people at the end of life.
Yeah, they're going to start rationing health care. It's a good thing it doesn't happen now in their free market system, because that'd be bad.
We represent the Insurance Guild.
Maybe he
has... Mini sirloin burgers.
Maybe he has...
It's French and gay. The Democrats need to man up. Obama's plan is French and gay.
Tiny and bold.
Maybe he has a handicap and you're making fun of it. Have you
ever? And we have mentioned that it sometimes it's just at the beginning. It seems like someone has stepped on a poodle. And then someone steps on a poodle.
Register.
And then he regulates.
Everything in this health care plan.
It's a little Jay Leno, isn't it?
I think he's got a tape recorder in his throat and it starts out really high and then it starts to slow down like an online thursday.
He never goes down that low.
It's a little Leno. Ladies and gentlemen. A little like that, don't you think?
Like the Leno car alarm.
Okay. No, let's not play that again. All right. Janice in Memphis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Janice.
Hi.
Hello, go ahead.
Steph, I think that
we're having a lot of us are standing around letting the GOP and media speak for us. I think as people who are wanting the public option, we should do as we did during when we voted Barack Obama in. We need to come out in numbers with loud voices to let the senators and the congressmen know that this is what we voted for, this is what we want, and we will accept nothing less.
Yeah, I agree. That's the thing. It's just, you know, look, where is all this energy and enthusiasm that got Barack Obama elected? You aren't going to, you know, by the way, a lot of these campaign tactics, like we've said, exactly the same as during the campaign. Exactly the same. The fear-mongering, the racism, the you know, this is the same play they're running against them again. It's just that we get apathetic because, as Jim says, we'd rather watch celebrities eat bugs on television.
We'd rather watch Tom DeLay dance on Dancing with the Stars.
Apparently.
God. On his teeny tiny feet.
Yes, that's right.
I hope Jack Murtha isn't right. Congressman Murtha, who is a close ally, as you know, of Nancy Pelosi, he says it's looking unlikely Congress will pass health care this year. He said members are telling Pelosi to slow down. You know, here's the thing, and I'm even hearing there's one, at least one, we have one Republican at least that might support health care reform. Republican Representative Joseph, what is his name? Cow?
Cow.
Cow, mm-hmm. From Louisiana. He's a devout Jesuit and former seminarian, and he could vote for health care reform. So, but other than that, I'm with Howard Dean, who we will have on right at the beginning of Hour 1 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
As to why are we, I don't understand why we'd be capitulating this soon. Why we aren't still talking about using reconciliation or whatever we need to pass this.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Bill in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Bill.
Let me tell you, Steph, how great the health insurance companies are. Until about 12 years ago, I was one of three owners of one of the largest health agencies in the state of Wisconsin. We had between 10 and 12,000 dairy farmers health insurance. The health insurance companies sent me to Cancun in a $1,200 a night for a week, you know, the kind where you need a special key in the elevator to get to.
Mm-hmm.
When I wanted to go to a Milwaukee baseball game, I would call, and guess where I would sit? In the first row behind home plate, because one of the health insurance companies that we dealt with owned those seats.
Yep.
You know, they really liked me when I was promoting their product and selling their product. But when I came down with diabetes, they don't want me so much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what took me away and sold my shares in the health agency. It's a term called post-claim underwriting. What that means is that you buy health insurance and they give you a policy. But if you get sick and you go to the doctor or the hospital, at that point in time, they look to see if there is a way that they could have declined you.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can find a way, they decline the payment for the claim and they don't give you your premium back. My wife finally said to me one day, Bill, you need to stop doing this. And I agreed with her. I sold my shares and I got out.
All right.
Well, it's a crooked game, but it's the only game in town.
Yep, and that's exactly why we need a public option. President Obama said it this weekend, Americans are tired of being held hostage by health insurance companies that deny coverage based on pre-existing conditions or canceling, like our caller just said, when they get sick. So, you know, I don't understand. I mean, Howard Dean was saying yesterday, at least, I think even this morning, that there is no health care reform without a public option. 42 minutes after the hour, right back with more on all of this as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That laughter sounds like the result of misbehavior.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. proving that activism can work, kids. You can get on the phones with your senators and congresspeople in the White House today and say, no way, no how should you back down on a strong public option. The CEO of Whole Foods?
Yes.
He's provoked some customers to boycott the store his comments. The calls to boycott Whole Foods are growing louder and more sophisticated following a Wall Street Journal opinion article by the CEO, John Mackey, in which he criticized President Obama's health care plan and offered his own alternative, which I think probably does not include a public option, among other things.
The option is you buy my food at inflated prices, and that way you'll live forever.
I'm just like the insurance company. I'm your friend. Mackey did draw some supporters on his online forum who said they would start shopping at Whole Foods because of the article. A commenter identified as Guns and Liberty wrote that he will start shopping there, quote, to support this man who understands the real needs of this country and isn't paying for doctors for a bunch of lazy, smelly hippies who need a bath.
He's going to be shocked at the clientele at Whole Foods then. If he's
conservatives, I thought, get hives when they go into Whole Foods.
Arugula? That's French and gay!
Well, that's what they're saying. Like, this guy, you're told probably most of your customers are rich liberals.
Exactly.
And ex-hippies.
Yeah, good job. Good job.
Yeah.
People, smelly hippies. Smelly hippies with money, though.
Yeah, people like that couldn't afford to shop at Whole Foods.
Well, I'll spend my whole paycheck here. Oh, that's what I call
a whole paycheck.
Exhibit number two, that activism works. Looky here, looks like Rachel Maddow got Dick Armey fired.
So now maybe he'll really have to revert to his former name.
Penis Air Force?
Yes.
Chavon's Coast Guard?
Former Republican House Majority Leader Dick Armey is resigning from DLA Piper Law Firm amid a wave of negative attention.
Schmeckle Marine Corps?
His grassroots organization, FreedomWorks, has drawn, for sending out the right-wing lunatics to all the town halls. On August 7th, MSNBC host Rachel Maddow, one of the only people doing real journalism, broke the news. She said the fact that Dick Armey and FreedomWorks are standing alongside regular Joes like Rick Scott to lead the charge against health care reform could be just a coincidence, or it could be a stark reminder of who we're dealing with here. Mm-hmm. Who is actively organizing the campaign against health care reform, scaring real Americans with increasingly paranoid and kooky lies about health care, and then providing a script for how to express that fear? And so Dick Armey was on Meet the Press yesterday with Rachel Maddow. Say it with me. Awkward.
Oh, was it? I didn't see that.
She was great. She was great. She gave him an ass whooping.
Good.
All right. A.B. Stoddard on the Bear Show.
Ripper.
He's playing exactly into the hands of people who think that he's Hitler and he's coming to police all of our lives and he's going to kill off old people to cut costs in health care reform and burn up the Constitution.
Burn up the Constitution?
Mm. I see. He's proving all those people are correct. Uh-huh.
How is healthcare burning up the Constitution?
Did she have a point there? I'm not really sure what
it was. Okay. Oh, let's skip down to the president talking about his grandmother this weekend. Because it just... How do you comment on the you want to pull the plug on my grandmother lie?
I just lost my grandmother last year. I know what it's like to watch somebody you love who's aging deteriorate. So the notion that somehow I ran for public office or members of Congress are in this so that they can go around pulling the plug on grandma? I mean, when you start making arguments like that, that's simply dishonest.
He seems surprised a little bit at dishonesty from the right wing. For instance, did you see this right-wing healthcare group where they tricked British women into appearing into an anti-reform ad? Give me my scary music.
All right.
Conservatives for Patients' Rights. You know, they're the ones that do the scary commercials, Jim.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
An anti-healthcare reform group led by the disgraced former CEO of Columbia HCA Healthcare, Rick Scott. There's that name again. Began running a commercial attacking the British healthcare system. The TV ad runs through tragic stories of British citizens who portrayed as being against government-run healthcare, such as the National Health Service. Now the Daily Mail reporting that two of the women featured in the commercial say they were duped into appearing in the ad. Furious Kate Spall and Katie Brickle claim their views on the NHS have been misrepresented by a free market campaign group opposed to Mr. Obama's reforms in a bid to discredit the UK system. They note that they actually support government-run healthcare and were advocating for reforms within the NHS, not its abolition. Fed up with the deceptive attacks against their health care system from the American right, British citizens have started the We Love the NHS campaign on Twitter, which has become one of the top trending topics on the service. Good for them. And Stephen Hawking. Yeah, who I was surprised to learn is still alive, because I thought the British healthcare system had killed him, according to the right wing.
No, I have survived for 45 years with ALS, thanks to NHS. And I am British, despite the fact that my voice emulator does not have a British accent. You freaking morons.
All right.
Nor am I Swedish, despite the fact that I sound that way.
Bill Clinton this weekend, let's talk about it, because you have to say, the consummate politician had this to say.
I'm telling you, I don't care how low they drive support for this with misinformation, the minute the president signs a health care reform bill, approval will go up. And I want us to be mindful that sometimes we may have to take less than a full loaf.
That is the question of the hour, isn't it? Are we going to have to take less than a full loaf on health care reform? Are they doing this just to activate the our side to say no way, no how, without a public option? Or, are we going to have to accept this cooperatives or something that's really not a meaningful public option, in my opinion?
Did you say half a full loaf?
I don't know what I said. Anyway.
Half a full load, you mean?
But this was interesting. Speaking of Bill Clinton, because this weekend, did you see the heckler on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell that he answered?
Yeah.
A lot of gay people obviously upset with him over DOMA and Don't Ask, Don't Tell. However, he made some points that, I'll tell you what he said. He was questioned by a heckler. He launched into a very impassioned response as to what happened during his first term. He said, "You wanted to ask, talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I'll tell you exactly what happened. You couldn't deliver me any support in the Congress, and they voted by a veto-proof majority in both houses against my attempt to let gays serve in the military, and the media supported them. They raised all kinds of devilment, and all most of you did was to attack me instead of getting some support in the Congress. So that's why I'm actually saying this is I think timely in that call your congressmen and senators and support them in trying to support the president. The president has been very clear about saying he wants a public option in this. So, he didn't raise a good point with that. You know, there are real enemies of, for instance, gay people, and that's most Republicans, not Bill Clinton. He said, let me remind you, the public opinion is now more strongly in our favor than it was 16 years ago. Also true. And I have continued supporting it. He noted John Shakasvili, who was chairman of the Joint Chiefs under me, was against letting gays serve, but is now in favor of it. This is a different world. That's the point I'm trying to make. He also said what didn't get publicity at the time. When Colin Powell came up with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he said the way it was defined much more differently than it was implemented. He said, if you'll accept this, here's what we'll do. We will not pursue anyone. Any military members out of uniform will be free to march in gay rights parades, go to gay bars, go to political meetings, whatever mailings they get, whatever they do in their private lives. None of this will be a basis for dismissal. He said it all turned out to be a fraud because of the enormous reaction against it among middle-level officers on down after it was promulgated and Colin was gone. So nobody regrets how this was implemented more than I do. Clinton also addressed DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. He said, the reason I signed DOMA was, and I said when I signed it, that I thought the question of whether gays should marry would be left out to the states and the religious organizations, and if any church or other religious body wanted to recognize gay marriage, they ought to. We were attempting at the time in a very reactionary Congress to head off an attempt to send a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage to the states. Again, the consummate politician, but talking about politics, when there are these important issues and trying to, I guess, get half a loaf politically. So we'll see what happens with health care.
We may be getting half a load with health care.
All right. Linda in Columbus saw Howard Dean speak, who will be on the show right at the top of hour one tomorrow. Don't miss it. Hey, Linda.
Hi, Steph. He was great.
So matter of fact,
so common sense. He's only spoke on health care, and maybe when you're talking to him tomorrow, if I could suggest, maybe you could ask him to speak on the connection between a real public plan option and getting those 48 million Americans insured, because that's where the connection is. He said without the public plan option, all you've got is health insurance reform, and we shouldn't be spending $600 billion
Thank you. That's exactly what he said this morning, I think, on television, Linda. And that's exactly what, when I came in this morning, Chris, what did I say? I'm like, get me Howard Dean on the phone.
Exactly.
Right? Because I want to hear what he has to say, and I think it'll be very important on what we should do now about this whole debate over the public option. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris Lloyd, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.